Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
As usual, I'm delighted to be here. And it's always nice that Candace asks me to fill in when she goes on trips or when she's not available. For the people who don't know who I am, my name is Dallas Snyder. What do? I teach metaphysics. Candace teaches metaphysics also, but in a different way than I teach metaphysics. But it's all the same. Everyone has a different approach to things. So is there anyone here, the new people, the faces that I see, do you know what metaphysics is? Okay. So we use metaphysics, and we use what we call the law of cause and effect, which is an immutable law in the universe. And you can learn to use the law of cause and effect to bring into your life what you wish. Jobs, relationship, money, anything that you wish comes through the law of cause and effect. So that's as easy as it is. And it's a very simple idea, and it's a very simple process. People make it difficult. When you make it difficult, it becomes difficult. If you make it easy, it becomes easy. This thing we call the universe only mirrors back to you what you are doing and what you are thinking. So we use our minds, and we learn to train our minds to think differently. And we use our minds to build a belief system and a faith in this thing that we call the universe, or this thing that we call God. And we also recognize that there is the immutable law of cause and effect, which is not taught anywhere except in metaphysical teachings, because people just do not believe it exists. But I'm here to tell you that that law exists exactly like the law of gravity. And it's always present. It's always in operation. It's unchangeable. You cannot change the law of cause and effect. But you can learn how to use the law of cause and effect to draw into your life what you want. And you do that by using your own mind. Because metaphysics teaches you that you are one with the universe, that you are one with this thing that we call God, that all you are is God, but you are not all that God is. That is the basic premise of metaphysical teaching. The other tenet of metaphysical teaching is that it's always done unto you as you believe, not as somebody else believes, not as the world believes, but as you believe. So you're always working within your own self. You're always working with your own mind to change any attitudes, viewpoints, opinions, and beliefs that you have which are not serving you. So with that said, we will start with a spiritual mind treatment. When I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. It's an affirmative form of prayer. We are taking time out to know what the universe, or this thing that we call God, already knows about us. I will do this in the first person. All those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. And this is what I know, believe, and accept for myself. I am truly one with the universe. I am an important part of the universe. And because I am one with the universe, I have the same qualities as the universe. The universe is always abundant and prosperous. Therefore, I am always abundant and prosperous. The universe is always perfection. Therefore, I am always perfect. And right here and right now, I am perfect in every aspect of my life, from my finances, my health, my relationships, and my creative self-expression. Everything about me is perfect. And I know that, I accept that, and I let that be so, and so it is. That's easy. So, do you want me to just babble? Would somebody like to ask questions? I can do anything. You like questions?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have a question, but I'm not, whatever the group wants.
You know it's all about you.
We love your questions.
If I'm sending out a communication other than, you know, when I'm talking to somebody, like say it's a headshot, it's an email, it has to do with business, you know, anything like that. I know on checks we write stuff, but is there something that I could do to make it a positive? Like just say I'm sending out a headshot to a casting director and it's for a specific job or whatever.
Yes.
Is there something that I can do?
Yes. You can put your positivity into that by knowing that your positivity is in that. That is the same idea of sending your spirit before you to make the way clear. When that goes out, you must know that it goes to the right and perfect person, and they see that photograph or that letter, and that letter is completely surrounded by love, and you put your love into that. You always have to put your love into everything. When I go to pay bills or anything, on the way to the mailbox, I always kiss the letter and say, thank you very much. And I put it in the mailbox. I always send myself along with anything that I'm doing. That's that idea. And how many, Andy, you use sending your spirit ahead to make the way clear, do you not? Yes. You will see once you do that, your whole life changes and the situation changes. So if you don't run into difficulties, it will make the way clear for you. And that's building your belief system in that. Once you have the belief that works for you, it works for you. But you have to do it, because that is another part of the law of cause and effect that we talk about.
Sometimes when I'm stapling up like a pile of headshots, I'll actually, like, as I'm stapling each one up, I'll designate it and I'll say, this one's going to a sitcom, this one's going to a casting director of a, you know, and just,
yes.
I just put that energy into it.
Yes. And that's what we're talking about here always. We're talking about energy. When we say this thing, the universe, or this thing, God, which, by the way, the other people, God and the universe are one the same thing. You cannot have God and the universe. You can have God as the universe. But it's always one. We only teach unity.
I have a question, because I've been here a while. When you send yourself ahead of, is it something you say to make that happen?
You can say, I'm sending my spirit ahead.
You're paving the way for going through things?
Absolutely. You see, it's done with your mind, and it's done with your word.
Mm.
And after you realize that nothing ever leaves you, which is a topic for another time,
when we were talking about before everybody got here, along these lines of sending out headshots, you were talking about people saying, well, I got the audition. And I was just saying to Al, what an aha moment, because I'm a contractor, so I've just been on all these bids. But I'm not thinking, I'm saying, I am setting my intention for these jobs. But can you expand on that a little bit from what we were talking about? It's not the auditions or the bids we want. We want to take that further into the fruition of what those things get us.
Well, first of all, we banter about the word intention. You have to realize that intention is God. You have to realize it's not just a word. Intention is God. And your intention is to get your contracting job, not to just go out for bids all the time. You see, people get, in any walk of life, we get busy doing things that we think are productive and they're not. All day long you go out on bids, but you made no money, but you say, look, I worked all day long. Well, you didn't do a damn thing. You didn't do a damn thing. That's a little trick that the mind does to you. That's what actors do. They sit all day long waiting for a telephone call instead of knowing when they get up in the morning that the phone is going to ring. It's, you can. You have the power to make the phone ring. And if you want the phone to ring, you must affirm that the phone is going to ring. You will eventually reach the point when the phone rings, you will know who will ring.
That's hysterical.
So this is how this works. This is how your mind works. You see, when I say your mind, I'm talking about the universal mind, the mind of God. You have to realize that we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. That is an all-powerful, all-knowing mind. Therefore, your mind is all-knowing and all-powerful. You just have to tell yourself that now I'm moving up in consciousness. I'm opening myself to the intelligence of the universe. And that intelligence will come through you. How do you get an audition? You sit and you see yourself at an audition. And the phone will ring and you'll have an audition. And then we were talking earlier about the whole idea is you must go further with it. You must always be specific with the universe. Because the universe is very polite, it will never correct you, nor will it add to anything, nor subtract from anything. So you have to say, I want an audition, or I want to book the job, you're saying. And actors say, I want an audition. And they have tons of auditions, but they don't get the job, because they didn't ask for the job, they asked for the audition. When you go out on bids, you have to know that you're going to get the job, and you have to see that job. The best way for you to do it is to see them signing your name to the contract. So the night before, you send your spirit ahead with that, and you see that all taking place, and it will take place for you. We are always the cause unto our own experience. Always the cause under our own experience. We would like to blame it on everything else because the world is very convincing. And the world convinces us that somebody else caused something. Please take responsibility for everything that comes into your life. That is the freedom that you will have once you realize I caused this. If you don't like what you cause, you change it. And there is no shame and guilt in that whatsoever. People are afraid of responsibility. They are afraid of the word responsibility. Ah, you mean I'm responsible? Yes. What is the big deal about being responsible for your own life and what comes into your life? You see, the power that you have, the freedom that you have, lies in the responsibility. And if you want your life to open up and really start to work for you, take the responsibility. And don't let your mind argue you out of it by saying, no, that wasn't your fault. Just go ahead and say, that's my fault. I take responsibility only for good things that come into my life. I take responsibility for anything good that happens within a 100-mile radius of me. Anything good, I take full responsibility for that. You have to know that you can do that. And then you just keep building on that and building on that until you're able to do the most amazing things. And your life just becomes joyful. We are here on this plane of action to be filled with joy, to be filled with bliss. This Creator did not create human beings to have fun with them in any way, to poke a finger, to do anything. God put us here to learn that we are part of the whole thing. Jesus said, ye are gods. Ye are gods. Jesus said a lot of things which no one wants to talk about. They only want to talk about the horrible things that happened to Jesus. And they don't want to tell you that you can do it. Everyone here knows Jesus. You know, and I'm not saying know Jesus as your Savior. I do not take I do not take Jesus as a Savior. I take Jesus as one of the master teachers. And I believe in everything that Jesus said, but very little that's been said about him. So Jesus said, what? You can do this and greater things. And then the church says, no, only Jesus could do that because he was special. I'm here to tell you, universe or God does not show favorites. No one is more special than anybody else. We are all held in the exact same esteem as everybody else. This thing that we call God loves us so unconditionally that we cannot understand that because we have a finite mind. We do not have an infinite mind.
I have a question, because you bring up Jesus. Why did he allow that to happen to him? Or, you know, he was a master teacher, but why did he allow himself to?
Because he had to bow down to the law of cause and effect also. And what did he keep saying? They're going to crucify me.
Well, he said more than that. He said you're going to betray
me. Well, he said that too. You will betray me and you will crucify me. He just put that right into the law of cause and effect, and that's what happened to him. Last night we talked about the thing about people. Everyone here believes in what goes round comes round. Does anyone not believe in that? No? You believe in that. So if you believe in what comes round goes round, you have to also believe in the law of cause and effect. It's the same thing. It's the same thing, but we only ever use it in the negative. We don't use it in the positive. This thing that we call God, we know is pure love, but love must operate through the law of cause and effect. It's a universal law. It's an immutable law. It's always in operation. And when we do that also, we must remember that there's not God in the law of cause and effect. There's God as the law of cause and effect. But God has to use the law of cause and effect to manifest things the same way that we do. So there's the power that you have. Your mind is all powerful. So when you know that, and what was the biggest thing that we have in our toolbox? Imagination is the biggest tool you have. And imagination, the world takes away from you. We were all born with imagination. When we were children, could we not imagine being here, there, and everywhere? Was it not real for us? It was absolutely real for us. But then somebody said, oh, you don't see that. Oh, no, that can't be. Oh, no. And we just, oh, you know. We let that imagination go. But using your imagination. Now, I try not to make things up, but sometimes I'm not sure where I get the information. But I'm almost sure that when they did the King James Version of the Bible, they took out the word imagination and put in the word faith. So you must have faith. You must have imagination. Can you see how much easier it would be for you if you were taught that you must have imagination? When I say to people, you must build your belief, you must build your faith, well, how do you do that? But if I say you must build your imagination, can't you all build your imagination? So start to build your imagination. Everything here on this plane of action comes from the mind. You see, we look around and we're very convinced because of our five senses that this is a material world. It is not a material world. It is a mental world. Once you realize that it is a mental world, you can change everything about you and about your own reality. Does that make sense to you? So you don't look at it ever as a material world. You look at it as a mental world. And it is the mind that is doing everything. The mind is doing everything. And we use our eyes to see the world. But that all our senses, by the way, lie to us. They are not reliable sources to collect information with. But yet we go ahead and collect tons of information through a system that is faulty. And we think that it's real, that we know everything. See, the eyes really do not see. The mind sees. The mind sees. I'll give you some examples of that, at least one. I can hypnotize somebody and tell them that Andy is not in his room. I can wake them. They will not see Andy. They will not see Andy because we see with the mind, not our eyes. So you have to remember that. What is my mind doing? What filter am I looking through? Am I looking through the filter of love? Am I looking through the filter of fear, hate, jealousy, envy? You have to pick the filter that you want to see the world through. It's that simple. So just change your perspective on things. And when you change your perspective, the thing itself changes. Now, we also say the only thing that we can change is ourself. That is absolutely true. Because the only thing you can have control over is your own thinking. And you're allowed to think anything you want. So if you're allowed to think anything you want, why wouldn't you always think positive things? Why wouldn't you always hold yourself in the highest esteem? Because the ego mind and the world tells you that you can't do that, or that you're conceited, or this is happening, or that's happening. Please give up all those ideas that the world has told you. They are out and out lies. The world is not here to support you in any way. But the universe is here to support you completely. Once you allow the universe to support you, your world changes and you see all the beauty in this world. You see all the beauty in the world. So it's done by changing your mind about anything. So when you change your mind about something, what you are looking at changes. But it doesn't change. It has always been. You had just were not able to see it because you had a filter on. You took the filter away and you saw it as it is. That's why we try to see God in everything. We try to see good in everything. A friend of mine years ago told me there's always enough good in somebody to cover up the bad. And that's what we want to do. We want to focus on the good till it covers up the bad. The bad cannot exist for long. Only good can exist. Only good has a life of its own. Anything that is not good, our minds are breathing life into. And when we take our focus away from that, It has to go away because it has no life of its own. Only God and goodness have life of their own. Only God and goodness have life of their own. That's why good always wins out. Goodness will always trump anything. And it always has and always will. That's the way it works. So it's just a matter of thinking differently. And then keeping your thinking on that. But people with religion, and this is not a religion. When I talk about God, I'm not talking about any religion whatsoever. If I never saw another church or went into another church in my entire life, I would probably be very happy. You know, I do not have to see all that. I think churches are beautiful. I also think they're antiquated because we are evolving past that whole idea. You're evolving past that whole idea. I don't think the Catholic Church in the next 100 years can remain the Catholic Church. It will become an historic institution because we see things differently now. That's not putting the Catholic Church down. Our ideas have to move. The reason why our ideas don't move is because you went to a church, or we all went to a church, where they said, it's complete. This is all the truth there is. We have reached the ceiling. You cannot go further than this. Now, in religious science, we always say that this teaching is open at the top, so that we can expand more and more and more. Science of Mind, the book, was written by a man called Ernest Tones. When we say it was written, it was compiled. He took all kinds of things, gleaned the truth from everywhere, and put it into a book. So they're his ideas, but he knew perfectly well that new ideas are going to come in to the world. And into man's mind. So it has to be open at the top. So all religions who are closed at the top will eventually fall out. They will not be able to exist because they are teaching twaddle. And we are getting entirely too intelligent to do that. And to swallow all that stuff. That is not putting religion down one bit. But most people have been brought up with that idea, and they've been brought up with, if I don't go to church, I'll go to hell. And the only way through salvation is through affiliation. I'm telling you that there is no salvation through affiliation. In fact, there is no salvation whatsoever. We are not lost souls. There's no such thing as a lost soul. Where they came up with that, I'd like to know. The reason why there's no such thing as a lost soul is because the mind of God is everywhere and knows where everything is. And you can prove that any day of the week. If you lose something, you must immediately say to yourself, I do not know where that object is, but I know that God knows where that object is. And that object is now returned to me. The object will come back to you. You will find that object. Because there cannot be anything lost in the universe. But the world tells you, oh, it's lost, it's gone. It's gone forever. It's not lost. We use that when people die, don't we? Oh, I lost mother at the store. You know. How can you lose somebody? That person is not lost. That person has made a transition, has transformed into something else. person is not lost. The energy that that person was always is. You know that from basic high school, what chemistry was it when we learned? Matter can neither be created nor destroyed. Matter can only change form. And that's what we're doing all the time. We're changing form. So don't think that anything can be lost. And use that mind then. Use that for in your life. You see, this mind, this thing that we call God, wants to be used all the time. People are afraid to use God. People know that God's mighty, but they don't know that God's useful. Well, I'd rather have a useful God than a mighty God. You know, I want a God that works for me. And I tell my class, if your God isn't working, if you're not getting what you want from your God, kick him out and get a new one. You are the one that's doing it. You see, all we're doing is discovering more and more and more. We're the ones that are creating our concept of God. And we can create it any way we want. That's the marvelous thing about it. But theologians tell you, no, God is this, 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 and this. No one knows what God is. God is infinite. As soon as you know what God is, what have you done to God? You made God finite. And then God does not work once it's finite. God is all possibilities and must remain all possibilities. And all those possibilities are already all in front of you. You just have to open yourself through your imagination or through your faith and belief that that is so. And that this universe is holding nothing, nothing back from you whatsoever. How many people here think that the universe is holding something back? Don't do that to yourself. If any of you feel that you're not getting what you want, it's not because God, the universe, doesn't want to give it to you. It's because you have not opened yourself to receive that. You have to stretch your consciousness. You have to stretch your faith and your belief so that you can accept it. This thing that we call God does not ask us to try harder. God asks you to believe more. It's always done with your belief. It's not done with hard work. In the Bible, when it says, by the sweat of your brow, people think that means to go out with a pick and shovel and get all sweaty. That doesn't mean that at all. Metaphysically, that means the sweat of your brow. Think, 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 think. So we have to start thinking. And how do we start to think? We start with your own self. You know, you don't, everyone wants to start with God. God's always there. Start with yourself. And start building your own image of who you are by knowing what? Lovable, deserving, and worthy. You have to know those things about yourself. You don't have to convince God. God already knows that. God already knows that. And those three that I just mentioned are intrinsically within you. They're already there. You just have not opened yourself to them. And you have believed the world. You have believed the world. When I use the term world, I also mean the people that you're around, the parents that you're around, all that is the world telling you, no, you cannot do that. No, you're a bad person. No, you're always that. You were always that way. You are not always that way. You can change anything at any time. And you do it right here and right now. Because the only power there is in the moment. There is no power in the past, and there's no power in the future. The only power there ever is the power right here and right now. So you can change anything at this instant. You have to get that into your system. Just start to believe that. You certainly, we all have, swallowed enough other stuff, haven't we? And taken it because some authority figure gave it to you, because this happened and that happened to you. And then as you grow older, don't you realize that most of that's wrong? Most of it's wrong. The reason why most people are not operating efficiently in this world is because their map is too old. They came up with a map. Most people have made major decisions about their life by the age of five. By the age of five. That's why when you talk to somebody, you have to remember that you're talking to a five-year-old. That's why you make it very simple and very clear. That's why we get into all the trouble that we get into in the world, because people forget that you're talking to somebody. Look what we got into recently when somebody of importance said, "You tried to kill my daddy." And now we're immersed in a war. That was a five-year-old who said that. So anyway, we make the major decisions by that time in our life. We make how much money we're going to make, who we're going to marry, what job we're going to have. We make all those decisions at the age of five. When we do not have the emotional equipment to do it, and we do not have the intellectual equipment to do it. We are not grown up. We are not grown up. We have that problem, you know. Remember when the age used to be 21, and then everyone wanted to reduce it to the age of 18? And you know that's still a teenager. They have discovered that the teenage mind, you know, is not completely formed. That's why they get into all the little things that they get into. So you can imagine, if you're 5 years old, your brain's still growing till you're about 21, how could you have made those decisions about yourself? So now you have a map laid out for you. But now the world's changed completely from when you were five and made that up. But you've never changed the map, so you're looking at this map and you're going, "Oh my God." See, if I gave you a map of Los Angeles that was 100 years old, how about the valley? If I gave you a map of the valley, would you ever be able to find anything that was 100 years old? No. So you're using an old map. So you have to make a new map. Which brings me to another point. We are all map makers. We all have the ability to make a map. But we don't know that. No one has told you. So you have to sit down and make your own map. And become a map maker of your own. And learn to explore what's going on with inside of you, what's going on outside of you. When I say you are a map maker, I mean you're holding a map right now, and the only thing that's coming into my mind to point this out is you have in you a map that believes in lack and limitation. You have in you a map that believes in sickness and death. And you're following that map right to the abyss. And you just keep following it. But you have to become your own map maker. You have to make a new map. And here again, use your imagination. Sit down and draw a map. Do anything that you want. X marks the spot. I don't care how you do it. But you have to realize that you're making your own map in life. Instead of using somebody else's or using the old one that you made when you were 5 years old. Become a map maker. Become an explorer of consciousness. And see where it will take you. And it will take you where you want to go. But the old map you're using is not going to do that. It's not going to do that. Everyone, well, not everyone, people in this room want to be actors, which is a wonderful thing to aspire to. But you have to sit down and you have to tell yourself that you can do that, that you have talent, that it's God-given talent, that you have creativity, and that creativity is pouring through you, because the only mind there is the mind of God. And you have to make yourself believe that. But if you want to be an actor and your map is fuzzy and doesn't lead you in that direction, you're not going to get there. Because actors have doubts and fears, do they not? And they think, I'm not good enough for the job, or they picked somebody else, or I should have read that better, I should have done this, that, and the other thing. Don't do that to yourself. You have to know you're always in your right place at the right time, saying the right thing, that you wouldn't have been called into that audition unless you were going to book the job. You go into the audition, you look around, you see all these people, and you go, oh, well, he's better looking. Oh, I've seen him before, he's got more talent than I have. Oh, yes, this other. You can't do that to yourself. You can never compare yourself. You never compare yourself to anybody or anything. You have to realize that you are an individualized expression of the one mind. And that you are what's called the rarest of the rare. There has never been anyone like you, and there will never be anyone like you again. Therefore, you are truly a unicorn. So you cannot compare yourself to anyone. When we compare, we are using the world's idea, and we are using the ego mind's idea. The mind of God does not compare. Does anyone know why the mind of God does not compare? You know the answer.
How can you compare to yourself?
Yes, because there's only God. There's nothing to compare it to. If God compared something, it would be a dualism. And the world works in duality. And we do not work in duality. The world says yes and no, up and down, back and forth, left and right. And we know there's no such thing. We know for granted the space, there's no such thing as up and down. There's no such thing as left and right. But our minds tell us that. So we start to compare. And we get into trouble by doing that. This teaching does not teach comparisons of any type. It teaches creativity. And it teaches you that you are creative. Teaches you that you have a place in the universe. It teaches you that this thing that called God loves you, that you matter, and that God would be incomplete without you. And that you are here on this plane of action, at this present moment, at this time in history, because you have something to give that only you can give. That only you can get in your own unique way. So when we'll go back and use actors. When you walk into an audition, you must realize that you have a unique gift to give. And you pull that out of yourself so that you are not imitating anybody else. And not trying to be anybody else. Acting is not trying to be somebody else. Acting is revealing who you are. And the difficulty with actors come in because they do not want to expose themselves. So they pretend that they're somebody else. You must become authentic. Show yourself with honesty, integrity, and love. And that is what reads in any audition. It is not the words you are saying. The words say nothing. It's your presence that says everything. This thing that you are is shouting so loudly, and you must allow it to be seen. You must allow yourself to be seen. And we are all afraid to do that. And in doing that, we are not honoring ourselves or this energy, this power, this life that we call God. And we have to learn to be ourselves, to enjoy ourselves just for being, to wake up and say, I really like myself. I'm filled with joy about myself. And then fill yourself with that joy. Fill yourself with that joy. I tell myself jokes, and I love to tell myself jokes and laugh. I love to fill myself with laughter and joy and love. I don't sit around moaning and groaning and complaining. Why don't I sit around and moan and groan and complain? Because I don't put energy into any of that. If I put energy into that, what's it going to do? It's going to grow, you see. So I withdraw my energy from any of that stuff. I withdraw myself from that. I withdraw myself from people. I don't sit with people who are negative. I don't sit with people who put anything down, put the world down, put themselves down. The worst is putting themselves down, yes, sir.
Right on the topic, I know a couple of friends that I've been having a hard time keeping a relationship with but I think they have a very valid case because they feel they're being discriminated against. And whenever we engage in conversation, it's always very intense and it's always very passionate. And maybe because I'm not part of what they're experiencing yet or haven't been yet or whatever their excuse is, I find that I see them as downers, but I find this guilt building in me because I don't know the situations. I just know their side of the story, but I know the history that discrimination has in our society, and I do believe is still abundant. So I'm having a hard time relating to, or I guess I'm having a hard time communicating them without feeling guilty or without seeing them as downers. I don't know whether the conflict.
That was several different things in there. Let me see if we can weed them out. Discrimination. Let's get over that. I had a friend, Hattie Johnson was her name. In fact, she was Reverend Hattie Johnson. She was a black lady. I never saw her as black. Somebody once said to me, we have a black person. I said, who is it? They said, Hattie. I said, oh. I never saw her as black. So I asked her one day, I said, Hattie, how do you feel when somebody uses the nigger word? He said to me, "Dallas, doesn't faze me at all. I know who I am." You see, people that are discriminated and think they're being discriminated against are discriminated because they don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. Does that help you? See, but they want to blame everybody else for that discrimination. Learn who you are. And be proud of who you are. What did Eleanor Roosevelt say? Eleanor Roosevelt said, "No one can make you feel inferior without your consent." No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. And these people do that. And that's a little game that the world is playing with discrimination. And they pull out the different cards, the discrimination card, the sex card, that card, the straight card, the gay card, you know. Oh, let's get rid of the whole damn deck. You know?
That just seems so real, the validity, maybe because they're just so passionate about what they're experiencing, and they bring up examples that I never thought about. You know, I've always tried to be positive, and they bring up examples such as, you know, well, look at TV. Look at the movies that are being made. Look at the leading men. Are you telling me that these Caucasian leading men are the only ones enlightened enough to allow themselves to get the part?
But you see, they're seeing things differently. Now, I can turn on the television and see nothing but black people.
Right, yeah, these people happen to be brown, though.
Oh, my God.
I'm trying to not to just write them off as being actors, you know, whiners.
Well, I don't. Well, they are whiners.
Well, they are.
But
and they're
write
also
them
actors,
off as
so
being
I don't,
whiners.
You know, I'm not, so I don't.
You know. You can be nice to them, you can be anything, but don't start to feel sorry for them. You learn more about yourself. And you bring yourself up, and they will bring themselves up. But don't buy into that discrimination garbage and all the rest of the stuff that's out there, because all that stuff does is pull you down. It does not lift the world, and it does not lift you. And I absolutely refuse to shrink to anybody else's level. Will not do it. Yes, if you feel you're discriminated against, you're discriminated against. They say that, look, you can't do this, you can't do that, blah, 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 blah. But we have wonderful examples of everybody from every race or anything that other people think they're discriminated against that have arisen and done something with themselves. You know?
Like, I'm a general contractor, and I have people ask me all the time, well, haven't you had a problem being a woman? No. Because I didn't know I should have a problem being a woman as a contractor. So, yeah.
Mind if I ask you a question? Would you think you'd have a problem if you were a brown woman?
No, I think I'd still be lawyered inside.
Well, I understand that, but you think you'd have more of a challenging road?
No, but what he's saying is, I know who I am. So, I'm a gay female, so I'm a contractor. But I know who I am, so I don't put the gay and the female before the contractor. I go out and I do the jobs. So if I were a black or brown, what you're saying is know who you are, so that's in here.
They're just labels. Mm-hmm. And the world, you buy into all that stuff. I'll give you a quick.
Just kind of coming back to what he was saying as far as discrimination goes. I have people who feel the same way, but I see them created. I see how they created. And my question is when I'm around it, do I like in here? I can tell somebody in this room because they understand the teaching. You know, you're creating. They'll get it. You know? But is there a line there, or would they understand it? Or, you know, if I said, "Hey, you guys, you know, you're two actor buddies. You guys, if you said, are you guys are creating yourselves?" You know. So the question is it appropriate to do that? Or?
No, it's not appropriate to do that. If they're asleep, allow them to sleep. You can lead a horse to water, you cannot make it drink. The only thing you can do is set an example. So finally they say, how do you do that? And they'll come to you. You cannot take this teaching to people that are not ready for it. How many times have I said that this is the easiest teaching in the world to disprove? They will not only disprove it, if you get into a room full of them, they will start making you wrong. They will start making you wrong. So you have to stay within your own self and build your own. And don't buy into all that stuff with the world and all that stuff. But there's no such thing as discrimination. There can be no such thing as discrimination in the mind of God. So we go up and we use the mind of God. And we look at those people and think, what mind are they using? Why are they seeing it this way? Now you don't have to bat them on the head or anything else. You just have to know that what they are telling you is wrong. I mean, it's a falsehood. And they believe it. So as long as they believe it, it's going to keep happening to them.
No, I was just going to say that. Isn't it because they believe it? Yes. A lot of the world believes that. So therefore, it always will, it will be that until it's changed.
I was going to tell you a quick little thing about discrimination and all. I never ran into discrimination in my life, but I remember. And when the big AIDS epidemic hit, I was in Atlanta, Georgia. And all you heard around were the undertakers wouldn't take the bodies, this, the hospitals would throw them out, this was wrong, that was wrong. And I said, well, this is impossible, this cannot be. I went to hospital after hospital. They had special wards for them. They were the nicest people. They did this, they did that. The undertakers took them. I gave the service. Da 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 da. I never had one thing, but every time I talked to people, oh, they're just dreadful. They threw this one out. They threw them out in the street. They did. I never saw it. I never saw it. It never came into my life, into my reality. I did not believe it. But you can talk to other people who will tell you horrendous stories that happened during that period. I have no horrendous stories to tell you about that period. Because I did not believe that that was what was happening. It's done with your belief system. It's done with your belief system. Change your belief, and your whole world will change. Is anyone confused? It's a very simple teaching. The mind does not want you to know that. Last month, I gave 4 lessons in true, or strict maybe, metaphysics or science of mind classes. Because a student of mine said to me, will you teach more science of mind? I only teach science of mind, by the way. But see, everyone wants more of something. You know when you want more of something, what it is? It's the evil mind not being satisfied.
It's an addiction.
Pardon?
It's an addiction.
It's an addiction. The ego mind always says more. I have to have more, I have to have more, I have to have more. Anyway, that person came to the first class and missed the 3 other classes. Why? Because the mind never wants you to hear what you need to hear. You have to be watching your mind. It will keep you away. There'll be resistance. Something will happen which makes absolute sense. You're afraid of the audition, and on the way to the audition, the car breaks down. you are always the cause under your own experience. So forgive yourself for all that. You see that and you say, look how powerful I am. And if I can do that, I can do this. I can do anything. And then you use that wonderful power. You use that wonderful power. Are there any other questions? We'll start wrapping it up, but I don't want anyone to leave here confused.
I just want to say that when this gentleman was talking over here, when he said, like, they think they're being discriminated against, I heard it in a new way today. It's like, because they think they're discriminated, they're creating that discrimination.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's their thinking that's doing it.
We know that, but I think in their world, that's their reality. They don't know that. And therefore, when we come up against that, this is our world.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't apply to out there.
Well,
which are the majority.
Exactly. All discrimination is brought up within the individual because they do not want to take responsibility for their own life. Now they have an excuse. Well, I didn't get that job, I was discriminated against. How many actors here think that they're discriminated against because they always go in saying, I was too old for the part? There's no such thing as being too old for a part. You have to remember that there's no age in the mind of God. No age in the mind of God. You have to get over the idea that there is age of any type. I got over it this morning. Today's my birthday. I didn't wake up and say, how old are you, Dallas? I woke up and said, isn't it wonderful? I have another year to celebrate this wonderful thing called life. And I didn't say, now I'm too old to do anything. I turned 63. I intend to keep turning.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really quick question. If he continued to hang out with his two pals, and how would eventually he like see discrimination? If he, you know what I mean? Like, would it like? Is it contagious? I guess.
Why?
Question, because it got me worried.
Well, I think his skin is turning dark.
The belief, brown to black.
The belief that...
Only if he accepts that is his belief. But he's not
what
around.
What would cause him to draw these people into his life anyways from the first place would be an investigation.
Huh. That's right. Do you know why you draw those people into your life?
Well, I have another friend, she's a female, and she's an actress as well, and apparently she's having a hard time with it too. And she got me thinking when she presented me. I'm very much, you know, I guess I'm trying to, my conflict is, I'll see it, you know, when I see it, I'll believe it. Well, she handed me these things you actors call the breakdowns. And she, you know, she showed it in a very disgusting way. She goes, you know, these are my opportunities, and look how limited they are. And she had a point in black and on the paper, she had a point because most roles were for Caucasian actors, and they were specifically asking for Caucasian actors or African American. She feels a little, I guess, left out of the pool because
She's always going to feel left out of the pool because she made a very powerful affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Just said it. And she has to know that that has power. She said, look at the limited opportunities that I have. You have to say, look at all the wonderful opportunities that I have. Opportunities are coming to me every minute of every day. And even though the breakdown says, a white person, I'm going in there and give the best damn audition I ever had, and they're going to hire me. They're not going to know that I'm black. They're not going to know that I'm black.
Well, that got me thinking about the male experience, being a male myself. And I said, well, wow, how would it be if I was a male? And then all of a sudden, I meet these two guys at the coffee shop, and I'm reading these breakdowns, and these guys kind of hovered over my head. Well, oh, you got the breakdowns, you're an actor. I said, no, this is paperwork for me. And they engage me in conversation. The next thing I know, I'm meeting him for coffee. The next you know, 3 days in a row, and they're just bombarding me with this.
Oh, that's these discriminating people?
Yes, these two males that I...
Stop having coffee.
Exactly.
They're just such beautiful people, very passionate, but I'm in my limit. I'm ready to say, you know what?
They're not beautiful people.
Well, but they are. They just...
Where are they beautiful? Cosmetically?
You know, they're beautiful because I just see them as they've just been scarred. They've been hurt.
Oh, please.
They don't know any better. They haven't been taught any better.
That's point of attraction for you. That's why they're in your life.
Mm-hmm. They come from seeds such as
good. That's what you choose to see, and that's what comes to you.
Wow, mm-hmm. That's good.
Can I tell you, too, that the breakdowns are like one-tenth of what's being kept?
Yes.
I don't know where it was just limited information.
They're very limited in their... That's the problem. They are very limited in their information. Now, you may sit all day and try to give them information, but I doubt you're going to budge them off of the square that they're on because they know it all. You cannot fill a vessel that's already full. Mm.
Bring them here.
We'll open them up. We'll at least stretch it somehow until they'll see things differently.
Yeah, I've been trying. They give me the silly excuses. I'll be there. But,
oh, yeah. They're always have excuses. That's the resistance. All right. I thank you, people. That's the end of the
There's a basket there for donations for the class of Dallas, and I was going to tell you it's his birthday, but he already let you know that. So we have classes Thursday night at 7:00, and Dallas will be here for 2 more Fridays.
Yeah,
one more Friday.
So he'll be back here next Friday at noon as well, and then Candace will be back after that. So thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Hey, buddy. Good. Everything well?
I love this.